Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga und läuft dann in Keeper Freisel rein. Iredale vollendet 4:0.
Beste. Ball kommt in die Mitte und zu Kleindienst! Kleindienst!
Guter. Linke Seite ist blank, vielleicht. Ja, vielleicht! Vielleicht zieht er ihn in Salazar.
Welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. On today's edition, we'll be looking back at the penultimate match day of the 23-24 season. There was plenty to play for at both ends of the table, and let's just say the picture is a lot clearer heading into the final match day of this season. We saw promotion celebrations, heartbreak, and so much more. It was a cultivating weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football. We are going to start at the Holstein Stadion, Holstein Kiel against Fortuna Düsseldorf, 1-3 in the table. So much to be played for in this game. Kiel knew that a draw could be enough to get promotion, but it wouldn't guarantee them top spot. Fortuna Düsseldorf with a win or even a draw would be enough to end any hope of the teams below them being able to make it to the relegation playoff spot, but at least it would give them a bit of hope heading into Sunday. A pulsating encounter which started perfectly for Kiel when they opened the scoring just 2 minutes in. An excellent ball in from Tom Rauter, finding Benedikt Pickler, who returned to the starting 11. And Pickler, all on his own, found a way past Florian Carstenmeier. From there, it was really all Düsseldorf. They pressed and pressed, and it looked like they should have had a penalty early in the first half when Patrick Aris looked to have handled the ball from an initial shot. During that encounter, Timon Viner and Felix Klaus collided. Klaus had to be subbed out of the game whilst Viner was proppy, but still carried on. It looked like they could have had another penalty late in the first half with Jona Nemec, but probably not enough contact to warrant, but it was definitely a close call. Second half was all Düsseldorf again, and look, they got the penalty they were seeking at the third time of asking. Christos Solis getting his 19th goal of the season. He almost made it a 20th moments later, but Timon Viner made a fantastic save. In the end, full-time came. Kiel, for the first time, are heading to the Bundesliga. It has been a long road ahead. 7 seasons in the Zweite Bundesliga, several different managers from Marcus Anfang, Tim Walter, Andre Schubert was a manager here, Oli Werner, and now Marcel Rapp. And Rapp would be wrapped that finally they've wrapped it up. I'm so sorry, that was really bad. But nevertheless, they have done it. They have done it. They'll be the most northern club, I think, as well, to have made the Bundesliga for the 24-25 seasons. And congratulations to them. They have been one of the best teams in the division. And it's, it'll be good to see them amongst the elites of the Bundesliga and see how they crack on. I will say before, we should touch on it because we've seen it quite recently. Lots of fan interaction, fans invading the pitch. And, obviously the biggest concern is player safety. And there was something that I feel like I'm not making this up because I had to check it a few times and I can't remember where I saw it. But there was a fan who kicked Florian Carstenmeier for some reason. Like, what are we doing? Guys, like, come on. Like, why? You've just gained promotion. There's the euphoric celebration of, all right, we're finally going to make the Bundesliga. And then you have, people going to the away end and carrying on and essentially, doing Fortnite emotes, trying to provoke. It's like, I don't understand why people do this. This happened in Leverkusen as well. And obviously, there's a little bit more to it between Leverkusen and Werder Bremen. But why? Just celebrate. You're on the pitch. This is a moment to cherish. Why do we have to go there? It is unnecessary. I just don't understand why it ends up going in that direction. But it's a shame that ends up happening. But overall, I thought Kiel were very resolute defensively. They were under immense pressure. Like Düsseldorf were really pushing for it. And look, they showed this against Hamburg a few weeks ago. Much the same. They scored first. And then essentially they just absorbed the pressure. And even when the 1-1 happened, they continued to absorb the heat that Fortuna Düsseldorf were putting on them. And, they came close. I mean, that Solis effort was a fingertip save away from making it 2-1, meaning that Dusseldorf would have been well in the hunt for automatic promotion heading into match day 34. It wasn't to be, but yeah, congratulations to Kiel. Well-deserved. And there's actually a really good piece from a French journalist, Flavien, who writes for Le Parisien. You can actually... it is a paid article, so... unfortunately, it's behind a paywall, but it's a really good piece. I may or may not also be in that piece, so that's why we're promoting it. But yeah, check it out. I'll probably have a post up on it at some stage. And for a city that's most renowned for its handball team, this is a big win for the football club. And it will be fascinating to see how they carry on. For Fortuna Düsseldorf, look, they'll be upset. Understandably, they probably could have had a couple of penalties in this game. I think the Erish one is egregious because we've seen that kind of penalty given all year. Where the hand is... I mean, his elbow is tucked to his body, but the hand is flailing out and it denies... Now, I don't know if the... I mean, the camera angles we had were pretty bad, but, you know, it looks like it could have been denying a goal scorer a goal. I mean, that's a big miss, especially if you've got VAR and you're like, oh, nah, we're not going to give that. We've given those all year. And look, that could have changed the complexion of the game because should that be denying a goal, that would have been a red card. And, you know, we're talking about a completely different game here, but alas, not to be. So we know Fortuna Düsseldorf are in the relegation playoff games. That's confirmed now. We know that's the case. We'll talk about why in a second. So now we look at who do they want to play. Now I've said for a few weeks that Bochum is the team you want to play. Well, Bochum are in a good spot. You know, they're 33 points. They are clear. They're a game clear of Union. A point clear of Mainz. Köln need a miracle. Köln are going to have to win on the final match day, and Union are going to have to lose to Freiburg. Köln has to win in Heidenheim, and the overturn has to be four goal swing, and that would relegate Union Berlin, and Köln would be in the playoff. Bochum and Mainz, you know, a point is enough for both of them, especially because of the goal difference. Union can't afford to lose because it brings automatic relegation into the piece, so... look, Union Berlin's probably who you want to play at this point. They've completely... It looked like they had solved it, the problems after, you know, the Urs Fischer stuff and, you know, Bielica comes in and, they clearly are a bit broken. And the fact that they lost that game on the weekend in Köln and it brought Timo Schulz's side back in the mix, I think Union is the team. Like, if you play Köln, you essentially play two derby games, which would be fantastic in terms of the viewing, but I can imagine the Bundesliga would be like, no, we don't want that. That's bad. We want for crowd numbers. We want to keep one of the traditional clubs in Köln in the division, but we'll see. Obviously, match day 34 is going to be mega in the Bundesliga for that reason alone, and of course, if Leverkusen can be invincible. So we'll see. Düsseldorf have Magdeburg now. That's a bit of a nothing game, but I guess a good tune-up game for Tuneside to make sure that they're ready to go no matter who their opponent is. They'll know who they're playing before their match against Magdeburg because the games are on Saturday. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I think Düsseldorf are in a really good spot. And you know, we've talked about only three teams have won the relegation playoffs. And I use one loosely because Nürnberg's the only team that's actually won the playoffs. The other two, I mean, yeah, Düsseldorf did it. They beat Hertha, and then the Union one was 2-2 on away goals. So look, we're bound for a fantastic. Hopefully, you know, because usually these games are pretty tough anyway. hopefully we'll get some good football in that one. But yes, Dusseldorf have Magdeburg and Kiel. Well, they get to celebrate there in Hanover. And the last time they played Hanover, Finn Bartel scored twice and they absolutely destroyed Hanover. That's a World Feed game. That is one of the World Feed games they are going to show. So tune into that one. It'll be a party atmosphere. And Hanover, you know, we'll talk about them at the end of the show. Let's move on to the Millantor. St. Pauli hosted Osnabrück. This was the second consecutive game for Osnabrück at the Millantor. They played Schalke in midweek, and that 4-0 defeat meant that they were relegated from the Zweite Bundesliga and a temporary spell in the second division. St. Pauli, knowing the result from the previous night, knew that a draw would be enough to get the result, but they were not playing. About 7 minutes into the game, Dapo Afolayan scoring goal number 8 of the season. And from there, really, St. Pauli just dominated the game. Instead of, you know, coming off that really disappointing performance at the Volksparkstadion and losing the Hamburg derby and all the bragging rights that come with that, and which is totally understandable, they left nothing to chance here. And look, you know, they really dominated a pretty inferior side, all things considered, and 3-1 almost seems a bit flattering because they had so many great chances in this game, St. Pauli, and they get the first goal, and then Afflein scores again on 58 minutes, and then he assists the third goal for Marcel Hartl. Hartl's got 17 goals this season. It's been a stellar return for him. Played a bit more conventional role. It was quite fascinating to see how Hertzler set his team up. You know, Metcalf remained as that sort of wing-back midfielder type role, but he moved to the right-hand side with Ritzka coming in, Hartl returning into central midfield alongside Irvine and Eliassard playing as in the attacking three, and it just worked. They just played with a lot more cohesion. You know, Oleksiy Kemeline is a fantastic young player, and you know, wherever Union are going to be next season, you would expect he's going to be quite pivotal, especially if it's the Zweite Bundesliga. He'll be a really good fit for them going forward. Clearly has great technical ability and definitely worth the time. So, yeah, it was fantastic in the scenes again. You know, even though Osnabrück got their consolation goal in stoppage time with the penalty with Lars Kiel, you know, it was only a matter of time before the fans had decided that the game was over and it's time to get on and the celebrations. And look, it was obviously a tremendous celebration for St. Pauli. It's been 13 years since they've been in the Bundesliga, and you know, it's if you've seen the videos, much like with Kiel, lots of sort of mobile videos, but Connor Metcalf, who clearly embodied the most Australian thing that you could say, he said post-game, "My plan is to get absolutely drunk and celebrate with everyone, everyone, and have a great time." And then there's video of him and Irvine doing a shoey, which, you know, I'm not entirely sure the sweat juice would taste quite good with an Astra. You know, but it's become the Australian thing now. We saw it at the whenever Daniel Ricciardo gets a podium, you know, the out comes the shoe. But yeah, how very Australian of them. But look, they've deserved it again. You know, much like Kiel, they've been really the industry leaders of this division throughout the season, and you know, St. Pauli have really just carried on what they did at the end of last season, which was go on an incredible run of form, and you know, they were unbeaten in the Hinrunde, and look, they've lost 5 of the games during the Rückrunde, but they've accumulated more points. So now I guess the scenario for St. Pauli is they're going to win the league. So in these scenarios, St. Pauli, all they have to do is just match what Kiel do. If Kiel draw, title. St. Pauli win, or Kiel win, St. Pauli wins, title. The only way they're going to get undone in this title race is through a draw. If St. Pauli loses, that's right, because I think they go off goal difference and off goal scored, sorry, because they've got the same goal difference at 25. You can see that my head is trying to process what's going to happen. Yeah, I think Kiel would win the title because they've scored more goals this season. But don't quote me on that. So that's the only time they can get in trouble. If they just match what Kiel does, they're going to do it. The thing is, though, St. Pauli, not in the most enviable position. They travel to Wiesbaden. Wiesbaden, who we'll talk about in Group 2, well, they have a lot to play for heading into Match Day 34. And that's going to make a really interesting dynamic. You know, let's see how sober St. Pauli are. You know, I'm sure they're not going to do what Darmstadt did and take the trip to Mallorca, which for some reason some of their fans believe is the reason why they've been relegated to the Zweite Bundesliga. No, it's just that the squad's not good enough to play in the Bundesliga. That's just the harsh reality of that one. But, you know, look, it's they were so good in this game, but you would expect that. You know, Osnabrück might have had like 5 minutes of like decent football in them. But they looked pretty done heading into the game, and Uwe Koschenat's got a pretty tough job to sort of rejig it and enter a Dritte Liga season and not do what other teams have done recently in the Dritte Liga, which is, you know, lurk in that sort of lower mid table and flirt with relegation to the Regionalliga. So, you know, they would have seen one of their neighbours do that, and they know that's not what they want to do. So we'll see how they go. Osnabrück end the season against Hertha at home. I think the stadium should be okay to use because they had that midweek game at the Millerntor. They didn't get to play Schalke at the Bremerbrücke because of the stadium. So we'll see how they crack on. Lastly, in Group 1, let's talk about HSV. Hamburg went to Paderborn on Friday night. Now, Hamburg mathematically was still in the hunt. They needed to win to make sure that they could enter Match Day 34 with the chance of sneaking into that relegation playoff spot, which they did. They've done a lot. They did it last year. And the year before, they snuck past Darmstadt to do so. Paderborn don't really have much to play for. They're just hoping to maybe improve their table position. Look, it wasn't a great game to watch, I'll be honest. Quality chances, not many of them. But if they were quality, they were Paderborn's. The goal cam, 7 minutes in. Kern Kostens with, you know, beats his opponent, has a pretty bad angle, but somehow goes top corner on the near side past Mattia Rab. And look, frankly, that's just a goal that you can't concede. Those sort of near posts. It's a thunderous hit, don't get me wrong, but Rab's not really in a great position to begin with. Gets himself under a bit of pressure and leaves enough of a gap where Costones can just really put his laces through it. From there, it was really just Paderborn. Excuse the cough, sorry. If you're listening to headphones, I'm really sorry about that. Paderborn were just the better team. Philipp Bobier, I don't know what it is, and I think there might be the sort of that revenge game element sort of thing, but he turns up. He seems to play really well against Hamburg, and he hit the woodwork once at least, I think. I think he might have hit it twice. But he looked really good in this game and plays with a real determination against HSV. So, I thought he was fantastic. It also means, with Paderborn winning this game, a goal to nil. Three wins of the last four for Paderborn. They're ending the season quite positively and maybe a dark horse for next season. Maybe. I mean, they're currently sitting in seventh position. They're behind Karlsruhe. They're behind Hanover. It looks like they'll finish seventh unless they lose in Rostock or they draw in Rostock and Hertha gets a win. Hertha have that really strong goal difference comparative to them. It's after what was a very difficult start for Paderborn and it looked like the season was going to get away from them. I would say they'd be quite happy to finish in the top half of the mid-table and really can build upon it. I mean, losing a key figure like Florent Muslier throughout the season and not being able to find just one replacement. I mean, Kostens has been fine. I think he's been a pretty good get for them throughout this part of the season. Ultimately, there's just the disappointment of, well, you know, we've got a good game style. Defensively, they need to improve. I think that's going to be the biggest need for them heading into the off season. You look how many goals they've given up. It's 53, which only in the top half of the table, only Hertha have given up more goals. So that's the big need to be addressed. They still play great football under Kwasniok. Defensively, there needs to be some adjustments. For Hamburg, this is just, yeah. I suppose it's better now to be hurt than to be hurt on the final match day, where we've seen it on several occasions. The Sandhausen game and during the Ghost game era, that's probably the one that sticks out the most. But they gave themselves an opportunity last week to pounce on a potential Dusseldorf slip-up. And they were really poor in this game. And it just... It's a week-to-week thing with Hamburg at the moment. You would think change is coming, though. They can't stick with what they've got. They are going to lose several players in the off-season who want Bundesliga football or top-tier football in general. It's going to be a really difficult off-season no matter what happens for Hamburg. Six seasons. Look, they're not going to... At this stage, they won't finish lower than fourth in any of those six seasons, which in top-tier football would be Europe, and it's great. In English, in the Championship, it takes you to the playoffs. But here, it's just another empty season of disappointment and wondering what could have been. Because they were in such a good position after the Hinrunde and things were looking good. To an extent, I mean, table position, they were in the top four. They were close enough to Kiel and St. Pauli where they could pounce, and you know, they've just been completely out-muscled and really jumped by Dusseldorf, and it's just, yeah. I mean, I guess if you were to have some takeaways, and look, when we get to the review show, we'll hear from those who are better equipped and a bit more in the feelings, but yeah, disappointing. I think it's just been another... This more than any of the recent three is disappointing for them. So we'll see. They've got Nuremberg on the weekend. Paderborn, of course, at Hansa Rostock. Let's take our first break. And on the other side, we'll discuss our Group 2 games. We're going to have a real relegation focus, starting with Hansa Rostock when they made the journey to the Veltins Arena to take on Schalke. The equation was simple for Rostock. They needed to win to keep themselves in the situation and at least get them out of the bottom three. Should they have done so and repeated what they did last time at the Veltins Arena two seasons ago, which was win 3-4, it would at least mean that heading into the final match day, they would be in position A to survive. Schalke, on the other hand, well, they gained their survival in Hamburg against Osnabrück, thanks to a 4-0 victory. Yes, they weren't the butt of the 4-0 jokes. And with the knowledge of knowing that their season was completely wrapped up in a sense of survival, there was a more emotional feeling around the Veltins Arena, the very strong crowd of over 61,000. Said goodbye to Simon Terodde, who was retiring after an illustrious career, 177 league goals, and many were hoping he would add to his total on the weekend. Schalke also said goodbye to Danny Latzer, who was leaving the club at the end of the season, and Gerald Asamoah, who will be seeking coaching opportunities elsewhere. And look, they had the whiteout sort of situation, you know, similar to what you see at Penn State. But yeah, really cool atmosphere. And yeah, look, there's lots to talk about with Schalke, but we'll talk about... We'll talk about Rostock first. So 2-1 was the final score in the end. Kinnan Karaman headed home the opening goal. Sarpreet Singh with a deflected goal on 31 minutes. And then just before halftime, Paul Seguin's cross eluded Marcus Kolke and squirmed into the back of the net. And Terodde tried to claim it. We all saw it. He tried to claim that it skinned his head. But no, it didn't. So yeah, 2-1 in the end for Rostock. It means they're 17th. They are going to need help. They have a poor goal difference, and they're going to have to better the result that Wiesbaden come up with on the final match day to make the playoff, because safety is no longer an option, and we'll explain why when we get to the end of Group 2 and the permutations about that. But they were in this game, not in just a sense that there's two teams playing on a pitch, but they had some chances. That the good one early through Kai Purga, which was fantastically saved by Marius Müller, who had a pretty decent game. I know he was upset about the goal he gave up, but it was a double deflection, and he went right the first time, and then that second deflection carted him in the wrong direction. But not enough. I think that's been the season as a whole for Hansa. Just not enough. They just don't have enough quality to really bounce anyone at this stage of the season. And the form guide doesn't lie either. Five consecutive defeats on the bounce, because there was that period where you're like, oh look, they're turning it around. It's coming together eventually, you know. But you know, 20 defeats, which is the most in the division, 55 goals, which is amongst, you know, it's the sort of mid-table defense. But we said it at the start of the season, the only way they were going to get themselves out of this funk was goals and finding a pure goal scorer. 29 goals this season. That's equal worse with Osnabrück, and well, Osnabrück are relegated, so they were able to find a way out of it last time, but this year it's definitely caught up with them once again, and in a much significant way. So they just have to win. They have to win at home to Paderborn, and it gives them a chance. And they have to hope that St. Pauli does a number on Wiesbaden. The question is, who do you want to play in the relegation playoff? Because there's only two teams that are in it. It's either Preußen Münster or Jahn Regensburg. We've seen Regensburg before, and Regensburg are kind of stumbling their way after, for the most part of the Dritte Liga, they've been in the top two. But Münster also, you know, they've come out of nowhere, really. However, you know, they stumbled on the weekend, so I don't know who you want to play, to be honest. Both will be tricky games, regardless of the situation. So yeah, it wasn't good. You know, Sarpreet Singh was actually one of the better players, but he got sent off after a foul on Drago. Initially, like, and this is where VAR comes in to good play, because initially it was given as a yellow card by referee Tobias Reichel, and I thought that was fair, but it wasn't until we saw the slow-mo replay that, hang on, there was a bit more to it, and I didn't really see the, from the wide shot, it was the studs in the back of the calf, the Achilles area for Aldrago, and you're like, well, that's a red card. So they lost him for the last 20 minutes, they lose him for this game, and yeah, it's a bit of a blow, because they've really not been able to find any strong offensive options over the past month, and yeah, it looks grim. It looks really grim for Hansa Rostock, and you know, the way Paderborn are playing at the moment, it's really difficult to see it changing. On a Schalke end, look, 43 points, they move up to 10th, which when Gerrits came in, you know, you would have taken immediately, because you knew this team was not going to do what the previous iteration did, which was gone an incredible run. But they are unbeaten in the last five. They won three of those last five games. Obviously, the Feltens Arena has been a bit of a fortress for Carol Gerrits. It's actually crazy to think that in the second division, a team has had over 1 million fans make their way to the Feltens Arena this season. I guess just an unbelievable number. Average of 61,000 fans. Yeah, incredible. But there was a lot of stuff off the pitch as well. Looks like Gerrits wants to stay. Mark Vilmots, of course, they're both Belgian, wants him to stay. And, you know, I would like him to stay too. It's clear he's embraced the club. The club's embraced him. You know, he mentioned that he was wearing white. He wore a white t-shirt in relation to what the crowd was wearing, and you know, wanted to feel a part of it. And, you know, there's a lot to like with what he's done with pretty interesting resources. The off-season will be quite telling. You know, Ayodrago is probably going. Ben Munga, of course, is going to be helping with a lot of the sporting aspects and you know, previously of Watford, did great stuff at Eintracht Frankfurt. Big challenge for both of them. And Vilmots, all three of them have a massive task in rebuilding the squad and figuring out what's going to work. Can they keep Keenan Karaman? You know, it depends on whether he wants to play first division football. You know, there's a lot to happen for Schalke. They've got Fürth on the weekend, final game of the season. They want to do something they haven't done often this season, which is win away. But I guess not having the pressure, not having to worry about the relegation zone, I mean, that's a good relief for them. So we'll see what happens. Let's hit the Olympiastadion. Kaiserslautern went to the capital for the first time in May. They'll be back there in a fortnight's time for their DFB Pokal finale against Bayer Leverkusen. They made the journey to take on Hertha. Hertha were wearing their Zondertroika, the beautiful navy blue or white and navy blue hoops with the red fonts. And can we just say, this is my personal opinion. I think they look better in those kits. I think with the navy blue and the white hoops, if you watch AFL footy, it reminds me of Geelong. So, you know, I think they look great with the navy blue shorts and the white socks, the red font, which, you know, for some reason on Reza's kit, the numbers and the font, the player names don't really centralize, and the OCD kicks in quite a bit. So yeah, I would like to see that happen. Anyway, the game itself, 3-1 was your final. Hertha taking the points. A penalty goal from Haris Tabakovic, 22 goals for him this season. Dudziak scored before the break, and Fabian Riese scored that Olympiastadion special midway through the second half. Marlon Ritter scored an excellent free kick just before the break to get on the score sheet. But if we talk about Kaiserslautern first, it meant a nervy wait for them. They didn't control the destiny anymore. They had to rely on another result to confirm their safety. If they had managed a point, that would have been enough. But it wasn't a great performance from them. Definitely lack of intensity. And the game turned into a track meet. And Hertha have the pace. If you just let Fabian Riese do whatever he wants, you know, you're asking for trouble. And that's exactly what happened. He did whatever the hell he wanted. And you can't do that, especially not at the Olympiastadion. And that's, you know, from my time there, that was the feeling. If you stop him, we've seen it all season. You stop him and, you know, Hertha become a little bit more one-dimensional and they become a bit more manageable. And unfortunately for Kaiserslautern, they just didn't come to the races here. And it was a pretty disappointing performance, all things told. And, you know, they can't obviously do that in the Pokal final. They'll get destroyed. So, look, they've got one more game to go against Eintracht Braunschweig. They are safe. So that's a positive. But, you know, they much like Braunschweig, who we're going to talk about next, you know, for a period, it certainly looked like, geez, this might be a bit too much for them to come back from. But to get the result, you know, to eventually survive, it's positive, but there's obviously a lot of work that needs to be done. We assume Funkel's going to be the next season. But yeah, I mean, at least they can enjoy the precursor, the curtain raiser game against Braunschweig before their Pokal final against Leverkusen. For Hertha, look, the news came out before the game that Pau Dardai will not be coaching Hertha at the end of postseason. And the word, and this is probably the fairest way to say it, I would say that Dardai is done with Hertha and Hertha is done with Dardai. They've had three cracks at it. And look, they've shown bits. I mean, 68 goals this season, and you want to put that into perspective, that's one less than the best team in the division, which is Dusseldorf with 69. Nice. Defensively, they're a bit here and there. Very hot and cold as a team, which is why they sit in eighth. They clearly have a decent squad that could do a lot more than what they have done. But it's clear that they want someone with a bit more tactical direction. But we've seen it before. Like, don't want to jinx it. That Hertha have gone in different directions and have been burnt by several different coaches. May I remind you, they had Jürgen Klinsmann as a head coach for some reason. You know, I guess you have to be careful what you wish for, but whoever they choose next, now there's rumors about Christian Fiel from Nürnberg, Kosta Runjic. The next coach, they really has to fit with what they've got in terms of player personnel. A lot of people like Phil, but I don't know yet. I mean, clearly he's a good coach, but we'll see. A quick word on Haris Tabakovic. 22 goals this season. Now, you have to... The last person to score 20-plus goals in a season, I don't know why I've waited till now to do this, was Mikkel Prietz, who scored 23 goals in the 99-2000 Bundesliga season. But if you want to go to their last time in the Zweite Bundesliga, you have to go back to the 92-93 season. Theo Greiss scored 23 goals, so he's one goal away from matching that total, which was more than 30 years ago. So, yeah, look, you take the result, it's at 3 points. There's potential that they can finish in no higher than seventh. And they can only do that if Paderborn don't win and Hertha get the chockies at the Bremerbrücke on Sunday. Lastly, let's head to the Eintracht Stadion. It's Braunschweig against Wiesbaden. This was one of the biggest games on Sunday afternoon, not just in the Zweite Bundesliga, but in German football in general. Because the equation was simple. If Braunschweig wins, they are safe. If they draw... They don't have the goal difference advantage. It's equal. It puts them under a little bit of pressure to get a result in Kaiserslautern. If Wiesbaden wins, Hansa Rostock would have been relegated, and Wiesbaden would be in the situation where they would have leapfrogged Braunschweig, and heading into the final match day, they would be 15th, preparing to play St. Pauli. One goal in this game was enough. And it was Tore Helgason once again getting on the score sheet, his third goal of the season. It squeezed past the legs, or through the legs, I should say, of Florian Stritzel. And from that moment in the game, Wiesbaden were really the dominant team. You know, it kind of played into the favour of what Braunschweig do. And I'm going to put some... I've got some numbers. I finally have the numbers to showcase the difference of what scoring first does to Braunschweig. Wiesbaden had their chances in the game. Lee hit the crossbar. You know, Pretayan had a couple of chances that he missed wide. You know, Hoffman was great in this game. It's fantastic moments to keep things steady. And you know, there was a lot of panic during stoppage time. They had the double screen. They had the St. Pauli stuff, but they were also showing the Braunschweig game. And you could tell that there was a bit of stress level coming into it. And eventually the final whistle blew and Braunschweig... you know, 20 match days ago, before the Daniel Schoening stuff, they were cooked. They looked gone for all money. We said it on the podcast. They looked done. No way they're coming back from here. They've managed it. They've managed 33 points in 21 games under Daniel Schoening. And here is the crux. So when they don't score first, or they don't score at all, 3 wins... 1 draw, the no score draw is at the Hanover game. 8 losses, 10 points. Now, the fun fact about this is the first 3 wins they had under Schoening, or three of the 3 wins they had in the Hinrunde under Schoening, they all came from behind. Amazingly. And they were against Wiesbaden, Kaiserslautern, Holstein Kiel. Absolutely crazy, right? When they have scored first, they are unbeaten in 9 games. 7 wins. And 2 draws. That is the tale of their story. When they score first, they are in good shape. Now, that one of those draws was the game against Fürth, where they were 2-0 up, and then they went down. It was 2-1, then they went down to 10 men. The numbers don't lie. They are a team that, when they score first, good things happen. And you know what? A lot of credit has to go to Daniel Schoening, because his reputation was a little bit on the dented after a pretty topsy-turvy spell in Bielefeld. Didn't get to see the season out. After it looked like they'd turned the corner, it all kind of fell apart and he was gone. There were doubts of his credentials here, and understandably, after having that squad in Bielefeld, he's done wonders for this team. He's done an unbelievable job. And whether he can progress them up the table, who knows? He should be applauded. And you can sense that there was not only relief at full time, also just an element of celebration. And, you know, he's deserved it. He's done a fantastic job. He's got a system that works for these players, something that after 10 games, Jens Hartl had no idea what to do. So kudos to him. They head to Kaiserslautern knowing that it's just a party. They would love to win and leapfrog and improve on the 15th place they had last season, which is very fair. But they know, not like last season where they had to stress it out. All they have to do is enjoy the final match day of the season and get ready for next season. For Wiesbaden, this is an awful situation to be in. Not only are you playing the team that could be league champions, but you're also playing for your right to be in the Zweite Bundesliga for another season. It is a nasty situation to be in. The hope is that that St. Pauli go hard and you know, they've partied their lungs out and not everyone's up for it. But much like as we said with Rostock, who do you want to play in the playoff? Munster is a bit of a wild card. You know, Munster has been a fourth division team for several seasons. They haven't played Zweite Bundesliga, second tier football, since the early 90s. And Regensburg are well in tune with what to do in this league. They've been here for several years, and whilst they essentially threw it away, but we saw last season anything can happen on the final match day. I don't know who you want to play. It's a real mixed bag. What we do know, though, is statistically speaking, it's not good to be a Zweite Bundesliga team in the relegation playoff games on either end. So I'm feeling pretty nervous if I'm Wiesbaden. Very nervous. And if they don't match what Rostock do, it's curtains. And what was a very strong start to the campaign ends on a whimper. Let's take our final break. And on the other side, we'll discuss our final three matches of Match Day 33. We're going to start at the MDCC Arena when Magdeburg hosted Greuther Fürth. An uncertain future awaited Magdeburg entering Match Day 33. They knew a win would be more than enough to survive. A draw would make things a little bit interesting if the chaos theory progressed, and defeat would mean that it might be a little bit more nervous than it needed to be heading into the final match day. They welcomed a Fürth side that had nothing to play for. They were safe, quite comfortably in the mid-table, and, well, you know, just looking to end the season the right way, whatever that means. This game was not one for the footballing purists. Well, those who like attacking football, it really looked like two teams who just were trying not to lose, especially Magdeburg. Magdeburg played pretty tense. They were strong in the early phase of the game, but after that, it became pretty clear it was preservation and trying not to lose. Fürth, on the other hand, well, they had a few chances. Lempele, Wagner in the first half, and Sabeni in the second. But otherwise, there's not a lot to talk about in this game. It was a 0-0. It meant that Magdeburg survived for another season after what had been a pretty topsy-turvy. And this was the season that many, including myself, felt that Magdeburg would make the jump. They were going to progress. It's like, okay, this is all built for them to climb the table and be a dark horse and surprise everyone. Well, they surprised everyone. They just were really poor. It's been a pretty tough season for them. Same sort of problems as last season. Defense has been really poor. And, you know, it's not often you said Magdeburg and clean sheet in the same sentence. They've got more draws, more defeats than wins this season. But a pretty disappointing effort. Didn't make a lot of great chances in this game. You know, two shots on target. But it's systemic of the season they've had. It's been a challenge. They did get a goal, but it was taken away for offside in the build-up. Correctly given offside. But yeah, look, you know, you take the Klasenelt when it comes. You survive. You know that you're going to be in what is going to be a very difficult division once again next season. But you don't know if some of the same characters are going to be there. You know, what happens with Barisatic? You know, does he want to go to a team that's a bit more playoff ambitious or promotion ambitious? You know, what does this team look like? It's clear what their deficiencies are, and that also comes with the risk of the playing style. We know that we all, you know, a good number of us enjoy what Christian Tietz is able to do. He doesn't really have the squad, though, that can be more progressive. and is a bit more stable defensively, and you know, he's not really willing to compromise. And whilst that's totally understandable, I mean the style of football he plays, and you could say the same with Christian Fiel, doesn't really fit the grand scheme of things. Ultimately, you need teams that, as the saying goes, eat grass. And you know, Magdeburg, unfortunately, at times don't really showcase the team that is willing to do the hard things. But anyway, good result for them. Like, it's a good result for Magdeburg. They get the point. They're safe. They've got a journey to Fortuna Düsseldorf on the Sunday, on the final match day. And look, you know, Magdeburg are going to bring a pretty big crowd, you would expect, to the Merkur Spiel Arena. The question that has to be asked is whether, you know, how do they want to end the season? You know, they only won one win in the last five. They've kind of limped their way. They've been fortunate that teams below them have really struggled, like Wiesbaden and Hansa Rostock. So we're not sure. For Fürth, you know, they're going to say goodbye to a bunch of the lone players, the young players. You know, they're going to bring more younger players in. It seems that's the profile they're going for. Young players they can develop and really make into pretty strong players at this level. But it's quite interesting. They don't have to play party pooper like they did last season, where they beat Darmstadt 4-0 at home and ensured that Heidenheim would win the title. So good feeling for them, I guess. But it's been the first full season under Alexander Zorniger. We'll talk about it in the season review when we get there. Up and down, bit turbulent. Had their moments, but they'll be happy with the result. It's it'll be a decent end to what has been a pretty interesting season for them. Let's head to the Max Morlock Stadion. It's Nürnberg against Elversberg. A massive game for the under-pressure Nürnberg team. 7 defeats in their last 8, with that 1 draw against Hertha. That's who Elversberg beat last week to secure their place in the Zweite Bundesliga for another season. It was clear and evident early on that Nürnberg were going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, the stovetop, the lounge set, the bedroom, the dining room table, everything to try and get a result, and it worked. They got their breakthrough just before the break. An excellent through ball from Can Özcan. Felix Lohkamp, who hasn't played often this season, he scores. His only second goal of the campaign. Just after halftime, they win a penalty. Jan Jimmera from the spot. And then Can Özcan with just a brilliant bit of individual skill. The kid is talented. It's hard not to get excited about what this guy can do. He gets it. He scores the third goal. And 3-0 is your final. It's the first time since that draw on the Easter weekend against Hertha that scored 3 goals. And we know goals have been hard to come by this season for several teams. And, Nürnberg were one of those teams entering the season that needed better goal output. There are so many question marks entering next season. Where this team is going to be. Who's even going to be on the team. Who might be coaching the team. You know, if Christian Fiel, if rumoured, is to make the jump to the capital club with Hertha. I like what he does as a coach. His progressive football is really interesting to me. This squad is not built for the way he coaches. There's no way. And like, as much as Phil has at times tried to compromise, his compromises typically gets him under pressure. This squad is not built for the way he wants them to play. As simple as that. At the start of the season, he inherited Robert Klaus's team and the weird Marcus Weinzierl thing. And of course, you know, Dieter Hecking has built this squad, and, you know, it's, let's be frank, it's not a good squad. It's a bottom half team. And they've shown that over the last few seasons that, the last couple in particular, that they're a long way off it. They're going to lose Özcan. They're going to lose Brown. You know, they'll lose countless others, I would think, in the offseason. And look, whoever is in charge of rebuilding this team at a sporting director position, they've got a massive task. Because they need to get a little bit younger. They also need to... If Fiel is the coach, let's find some players that can fit his system. Get a better goalkeeper as well. That'll help. That will help in some way, shape, or form, because I would expect that Karl Klaus won't be there next season. Neither will Christian Matenia. So if they can find a goalkeeper, that would be useful. Hey, look, Ralph Ehrmans might be available. So, you know, that might be all right. But, yeah, they've got Hamburg on the weekend. It's a nothing game for them, but, you know, you want to at least give your fans something else to cheer about heading into the end of the season. For Elversberg, look, they just weren't up for it. You know, their finale, their big D-Day game was last week against Hertha, and they played as such. And, yeah, I think just, you know, without too much in-depth analysis, I think Nürnberg just wanted it more. And they were completely outplayed, and as much as they had 46% of the ball, you wouldn't have known it because they didn't often venture into Nürnberg's final third. So yeah, tough day at the office for Horst Steffen's team, but you know, a home game against Karlsruhe to end the season. It's been a good season for Elversberg, even if they don't finish 10th. I think they've exceeded expectations, and we will see how that we'll see how that gets on, and from there we'll see how they get on. But yeah, really good season for them. It'll be interesting to see what the fans have thought about their campaign, their first campaign in the Zweite Bundesliga. And lastly, let's talk about Karlsruhe and Hanover. This was a farewell game for Lars Stindl and Jerome Gondorf, both who are retiring at the end of the season. The tears were flowing. It was an emotional day at the office for many. And fitting that the last home game for Karlsruhe and Lars Stindl would be against his former side, Hanover. There's a lot of irony in this because Gondorf also has a yellow card suspension, so this would be his last game. But Hanover, 2-1 winners in the end, goals from Andreas Vogelsammer. Paul Niebel levelled the score after his effort was initially not given as a goal. And it just amplified the reason why goal line technology can't come in soon enough. Like, the angles we had on those, I couldn't tell, because it's not like a direct line, the camera that was set up on the goal line. It's sort of like a diagonal, so it was a bit off center, or maybe that's where I was sitting. Given as a goal, I don't have a problem with it. It's just as long as you're 100% sure, no problems. And then Marcel Halstenberg got the game winning goal from a set piece, Eze's corner. Halstenberg beats Bifus and just puts the ball in the back of the net, and yeah, fantastic finish. And look, you know, it was an interesting game. You know, lots of end-to-end action. You have two very, you know, coaches that are quite interesting and in their approach. And you know, look, Karlsruhe have made it pretty clear entering next season they're going to have a bit more of a younger squad. They've got a lot of players in that sort of high 20, low 30 range, and it's clear that they want to build something a bit more long term, whether with Eichner. But they'll be disappointed, Karlsruhe. I thought they had the better of it for an extended period, but it was one of those classic sort of up and down games. You have momentum, I have momentum, and really enjoyable game when they threw it on the conference or looking back at it. Does it really move the needle? Not really. I mean, you know, sure, you want to say, oh, I finished fifth and that's great, but I would say for Hanover in particular, they probably want fifth place a little bit more, given that it showcases the improved progress from year one to year two under Lytle. Karlsruhe have had a good year. You know, when they have their good years, they're between that 6 to 8 range under Eichner. But yeah, I think it was a fun game. The sun was out, good atmosphere at the Wildparkstadion. Can't really complain, to be honest. And, it's when you say goodbye, and like we've seen several teams do it over the course of the weekend, and we'll see it, of course, next weekend as well. When you see so many great servants of the game hang up the boots, you just have to tip your cap and appreciate how good it was to see them play and how exciting it was. And you can only wish them the best heading into their post-football era, whether that's going to be obviously whether it's in coaching or they move into something different. You know, you wish them nothing but the best. So before we go, let's kind of get a recap of what's potentially going to happen next season. We're going to get a bit ahead of the curve. So we know that there are 14 teams that are guaranteed to be in the Zweite Bundesliga for the 24-25 season. The team coming down, of course, is Darmstadt. It has been a really rough return to the Bundesliga, and we had an inkling that it was going to be tough. So they'll be back. New sporting director. And we'll see what they do. Ulm were the team that gained promotion from the Dritte Liga first. They've also won the league. They're comfortably ahead of Prussian Munster. It'll be the first time since the turn of the millennium. 2000-2001 season was the last time they played second tier football. So congratulations to them for making their way back up. But who will join them? On the final match day, Prussian Munster and Jan Regensburg are fighting for the last automatic spot from the Dritte Liga. And you have a pretty interesting sort of digress, you know. Munster just have to match what Regensburg does and they will gain promotion. Easier said than done, of course, because we've seen it happen. We saw it last year where it all kind of fell apart. Where Wiesbaden thought they were up and then Osnabrück stole it at the death. So Jan Regensburg welcomes Saarbrücken. Unterhaching are the team that heads to Munster on those Saturday afternoon games. Remember, that's 1:30 kickoff times, local time. And then you've got the Bundesliga games. Will it be Bochum? Will it be Union? Will it be Mainz? Will it be Köln in the playoff? Or will it be Union or Köln who go down automatically? So much to play out for the remainder of the season. Thank you for joining me on this week's edition of the Zweite Bundesliga Football. Get ready to enjoy an epic weekend of football in Germany's top three divisions. And we'll see you next time when the Zweite Bundesliga returns.